guest of honor, Dr. Paul Wolfowitz. Dr. Wolfowitz has been in office for exactly 3 weeks. After being unanimously approved by the World Bank's Board of Directors as its 10th president of the World Bank Group, he took office on June 1st. The question is probably most on the minds of this audience is this: will Paul Wolfowitz make Africa a top priority as president of the World Bank? Well, let's look at the record so far. On his first day in office, during the first week of his 5-year term, his first meeting was with African ambassadors, NGOs operating in Africa, and advocates for Africa in the U.S. During his second week in office, he made his first trip overseas as World Bank president to 4 African countries: Burkina Faso, Nigeria, Rwanda, and South Africa. During this, his third week in office, he chose to make his first speaking appearance outside of Washington at CCA's, the Corporate Council on Africa's, U.S.-Africa Business Summit. Dr. Wolfowitz seems to be sending a strong message about his priorities as World Bank President. And we want you to know, Dr. Wolfowitz, that your message that Africa is a top priority for you is heard by all of us loud and clear. So now, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Paul Wolfowitz. I should explain to you that following Dr. Wolfowitz's remarks will be other gentlemen and lady who will join us on the panel here to respond to Dr. Wolfowitz's remarks, and then we will have a discussion and reaction, a little different format than we're accustomed to, but it should be an engaging experience.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that introduction. I think it counts as the most unusual one I've ever had, because you only went back about 4 weeks, as I counted, and usually they start in grade school and tell you where you went to college. I appreciate that. Lieutenant Governor Steele, as one of your constituents, a resident of Maryland, and as a former dean of Johns Hopkins University, it's good to be back in Baltimore. I have to confess, it wasn't that attracted me. It was the Corporate Council on Africa, but I'm glad they showed such good judgment in being here. John Watson, thank you for those remarks, and to both of you, you already conveyed in a powerful way that what I sense is a real excitement about the change that's taking place in Africa, a real sense of opportunity, and particularly appreciate Lieutenant Governor Steele, your comments about the historical significance of this against the background of centuries of unfortunately tragic history. I was honored to be selected as president of the World Bank, but as they say, the honor lasts 5 minutes. You make a mistake if you take a job like this for the honor of it. I took it with an enormous sense of responsibility and a special sense of responsibility about Africa, because I knew that the World Bank is critically needed in Africa, and that the bank as an institution has a unique role to play in Africa. And I really began, in a sense, from the reference point of 6 or 7, I guess it was about 6 years ago, when we met with then-Governor Bush in Austin to discuss the contents of an upcoming foreign policy address he was going to make. And I had been reading a lot in preparation about conditions in Africa, and the statistics that still stick with me are statistics about the number of children who were orphaned by AIDS, and other statistics of tragedy and misery and need. And there's no question that there's an enormous, compelling moral urgency to the conditions of Africa, and there's no question that there are needs. But what was the pleasant surprise for me, it really was a series of pleasant surprises as I began to prepare for this job and as I assumed the job on June 1st, was to realize that there's a lot more going on than just need. That there really is a sense of change underway, a phrase I've liked to use, and I like you're using the word hope, that Africa may be on the verge of becoming a continent of hope, and that'll be a wonderful thing, not just for African Africans, but for the whole world, because the world can't afford to have 600 million people left behind as the rest of the world moves forward. It's not only morally wrong, it's incredibly short-sighted. One of the first things I learned after I was, as they say, unanimously approved for the job, and since it's no secret the appointment was slightly controversial, I thought the fact that people could agree unanimously on my appointment must show that people are prepared to agree about difficult issues when it comes to promoting development. I've seen that in just the short time I've been here. And I learned that on July 8th in Scotland and Glen Eagles there will be a summit of the so-called G8 countries, and that the British Prime Minister, the British government, have put Africa front and center on the agenda. I have to tell you, my first reaction to that news was, oh boy, 5 weeks into the job and I'm expected to be delivering at that level. But then I thought about it some more and I said, what a fantastic thing to have Tony Blair and Gordon Brown, and following their lead, the G8 countries, focusing on my first priority, which is Africa. Couldn't be better. And I have to say, after coming back, we started this trip last week in London at a meeting of the G8 finance ministers, where major progress was made on a debt relief, debt cancellation package for some of the poorest countries in the world, including in Africa. An agreement that that cancellation would not come at the expense of resources for the World Bank and other development institutions. You've got to realize I like that a lot, but it's good news for the poor people who benefit from the multilateral institutions. That there was agreement on supporting the strong efforts of the government of Nigeria in fighting corruption, in trying to move through the Paris Club to help Nigeria with its debt backlog. So it was a good sign. There were some other good signs. When the World Bank had its spring meetings here in Washington, I had the privilege of meeting with the 44 African governors of the bank, most of them finance ministers. I was truly impressed by the quality of the discussion, the very high level, the insights presented, and most of all by something that I'm quite sure would not have been heard around the table 10 years ago, and that was a common concern about corruption and fighting corruption. Corruption is a disease. I've seen it attack Indonesia, where I had the privilege of being ambassador for 3 years. It's a threat to development everywhere in the world, and I think in the past it's done enormous damage to Africa's development prospects. But to see African leaders saying it's a problem, and not just saying it's a problem, but doing something about it, is one of the major reasons for feeling that we're in a new era and at a turning point. But then I was also enormously heartened to read the report of the Commission for Africa that Prime Minister Blair had commissioned. And it It's an excellent report and full of a lot of detail, and it's a big, heavy book. I can confess, I read the executive summary. That's the honest truth. But what is, again, to me so heartening is the recognition that Africa's development is going to depend on a lot more than just